नमस्कार ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्या ज्ञानञ्जना शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः ओङ्कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मनवा प्रकृते स्वभावत् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै श्रीगोविन्दायेति समर्पयामि. My name is Drew Lawrence, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit about Vedic astrology. Vedic astrology is also called Jyotish, and that means the science of light. Science of the stars, but the science of light. And subsequently, enlightenment. Vedic astrology is a science. It's not a psychic ability. It's a science. And it was incorporated when the planets were incorporated. When the universe was set into motion, when the solar system was set into motion, Vedic astrology was set into motion. Who came up with this idea? Which discoverer, which scientist, the big scientist in the sky, set it into motion? So what we find in the Vedas, you know what the Vedas are, correct? Vedas are books of knowledge written in Sanskrit language coming from India, dating back to 3000 BC, primarily dealing with the science of karma, yoga, reincarnation, self-realization, and everything else under the sun, to be explicit. So, when the universe was created by God, then Vedic astrology was set into motion. And there is a Sanskrit verse that says, Jivanam karma phalado graha rupi janardana. That Janardan, or God, or Vishnu, in order to deliver the karma to all the living beings, karma means action reaction. You reap what you sow. And as we know, in any culture throughout the planet, no matter where you go, everybody knows what goes around comes around. Everybody knows this. No one disagrees. This is simply karma. So, he says in the verse, Graha Rupi, I have taken the form of the planets in order to deliver the karma to all the Jivanam, to all the Jivas, all the living beings. So that's what it's for. It's the science of karma. Action, reaction. Does it work? Yeah. It works. Works pretty effectively. If it's a science, it must mean that it works repeatedly, and one can prove it time and time again. And you get the same results. And you do. I've been doing Vedic astrology now for 34 years. I studied Western astrology as well. And I didn't even know there was Vedic astrology. I had already learned Sanskrit. I had already become a Sanskrit editor for the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And we were producing... My guru was translating books from Sanskrit into English. We were producing those books, and those books are in every major university library pretty much in the world. So at one point I was running the Sanskrit department. Sanskrit I had already studied. Then I found out about Vedic astrology. And I didn't just accept it sight unseen. I thought, well, wait a second, what about Western astrology? It's different. Are they both right? Is one right, one wrong? Better find out. If you're going to embark on a program of study, you better find out. So I did that, and I found out reasonably quickly that Vedic astrology appeared to be more accurate and more comprehensive. Western astrology, as most of you know, is the one you find in the newspaper under horoscopes. That's, for lack of a better term, that's Western astrology. Millions of people follow it. Millions. Oh, I gotta check out my horoscope for the day. It's actually incorrectly calculated. Now, you're thinking, oh yeah, well, he's a Vedic astrologer. Of course he's going to say that. Why wouldn't he say that? Well, astronomers, that is scientists, they'll tell you the same thing. It's incorrect. It's off by 23 degrees. Does it mean to say that there's no value or no accuracy in Western astrology? Well, you know there is. As you know, there is some. And the relationship between the planets, that remains the same. So, yes, there is some accuracy, but I think Vedic astrology is more accurate. And it can delve deeper, and it can deal with more and more subtle levels of being, I believe. So, I've used Vedic astrology now for 34 years. I've traveled the world. Did I want to become a Vedic astrologer when I grew up? Hardly. Didn't know about it, never had heard of it, wasn't my plan. Here I am. Yeah? Did I choose this profession? No, I didn't. You know, it's just one of those junctures in your life and you happen to learn something, get a few charts because people would hound you until you do them. Oh, come on, do my chart. Look at my chart for me. Okay. And, you know, sort of takes on a life of its own, next thing you know. This is what you do. So it was kind of like that for me. I did not choose it. I'm a serious guy. I wouldn't do astrology. Come on. It chose me. So it's taken me all around the world several times. And, you know, here I stand telling you about it. That part I like, though. I like it all. It's all good. So, what's the difference between Vedic and Western astrology? Vedic astrology is, chances are, if you are, I didn't bring that list with me when the planets change, but for example, if you are in Aries in Western astrology, these are the dates I don't know because I never, don't think much about Western astrology. What are the dates for Aries? Does anybody know? 21st of March till about the 21st of April, correct?
Correct.
So Vedic astrology, that I can tell you. So Aries is the middle of April till the middle of May. It shifts in the middle of the month in Vedic astrology. So you may be the same sun sign, for example, that you are, or if not, you're the one prior. And this comes as a big shock to a lot of people. Because if you are a Cancer, you may well be a Gemini, for Gemini is the middle of May to the middle of the middle of June to the middle of July, sorry, in Vedic. In Vedic. Okay. So, it's different. And I have most of the people that I've talked to, when I tell them that, they go, oh, wow, that makes so much more sense. Now, judging things by sun sign is a little oversimplified. It's not that simple. Because there's so many planets, you can't just judge by one planet. You have to look at everything. And when you look at everything, you'll see that, you know, you may not have, if I say to you, oh no, you're not a Cancer, you're actually a Gemini. And you'll say, no, I know I have Cancer traits. Yeah, sure, you have Mercury in Cancer. Or you have Venus in Cancer. You do have Cancer traits, but they may be derived from other planets. not the Son. So, you know, everybody has a little bit of knowledge of astrology, usually. Astrology, just going back to the point about it being a science, in ancient civilizations, astrology was widely used and widely embraced. Who used it? The Chinese used it. What? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Aborigines. Did they use it? Yeah, they may have used it. And the Assyrians, the Babylonians, of course, India, the Thai people, the Egyptians, the Romans, the Greeks, and on we go. It's only in the last recent years that it's become out of fashion to use astrology, but people still use it. I've got executives in major corporations throughout the world that are clients of mine. Will they tell you they are? No, they won't. Yet, they use it. Wall Street, all those people use astrology. Well, I don't know about all. Many of them. So, astrology is something that's been there since forever. And it works. So, what is the expression we use? Timing is?
Everything.
Do we believe that? Is that true? It is true. It is true. Well, how do you find out the right time to do things? Astrology is all about timing. If you live in a country like, well, California is not a good example. Let's say you live in the Midwest. You have seasons of planting. You plant in the spring and you harvest in the fall. If you plant in the fall, you're not going to get a crop because winter will come, right? So timing. There's a good time and a bad time to do things. Astrology can help us to understand what the best time is and the most effective time for doing anything under the sun, whatever it might be. I have, for example, had clients who were trying to succeed in any one of a number of businesses. I lived in L.A. for most of my life, as a matter of fact. So I had a lot of people in the entertainment industry trying to make it, trying to succeed. A lot of artistic, creative people that I've known. And sometimes somebody's doing a particular thing, like trying to become an actor or maybe a musician or a singer or whatever. It could be really anything. And they give it, you know, give it a couple of years and then it doesn't work. And they say, they become disillusioned, they become disappointed. Well, I guess that's not going to work for me. I guess I'm doing the wrong thing, barking up the wrong tree. You look in the chart, no, this is exactly what they should be doing. This is where their gift lies. But what's the problem? Timing. It's not the time. And no matter how hard they try, it somehow doesn't come together for them at that particular time. If they would wait another year, it would fall into place. I had a German lady call me from Munich. And this was just shortly after the Berlin Wall had fallen back in the day. It's now becoming a distant memory, but it wasn't so long ago. And she said, I'm going to open in, what city was she doing it now? In Budapest or Prague, in Prague, Czechoslovakia. I'm going to open up a Virgin megastore. Well, there wasn't any such thing, but you get the idea. Super duper media store for CDs and DVDs and movies. And I'm looking at her chart. I'm going, yeah, great, wonderful. She has Venus in Libra in her fifth house. Fifth house is the house of entertainment. And business enterprise, entrepreneurship. And Venus is the planet of entertainment. And artistry, artistic things, right? God, this is like a natural for her. She'll do great. I said, wonderful. But her Venus minor period, which I'll explain to you in a moment, did not begin for another year. She only had to wait for a year. What's a year? A year's nothing. When you're investing all that money, a year's not that long. So I said, no problem. You're going to be very successful. Wait for a year. Because right now, you've gone into a K2 period. K-E-T-U, K2. What do you call that in Western astrology? South node of the moon. Dragon's tail. Can be very, very difficult, K2 period. And in her case, I said, okay, no problem. Don't do anything right now. Oh, no. I already have the building. They're renovating the building. I have full-time security guards. I've already paid off the Politburo, the old communists. I had to pay them off. Oh, no. We have to go forward now. I said, no, it's not good. It's going to be all kinds of problems. I said, just stop and wait for a year. She thought I was nuts. Did she listen to me? No. What happened? Did she open that store? No. It all spiraled down. There were so many problems. It was unmanageable. She had a husband who was quite a bit older than she. And she had taken the money, his nest egg, and put that into this business, which was several hundred thousand dollars, and lost it all. It failed. It did not open. Timing. And then the gentleman got sick, and there is no money. So that was the story there. Timing. Very important. Now, that's a negative story. I could tell you many more positive stories of people who have succeeded by doing things at the right time. So timing is important. In Vedic astrology, we use a life cycle of 120 years. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how long you are supposed to live. 120 years. Healthy, happy, vibrant, strong. The 120 years we divide into three phases generally. Birth to 40, youth. 40 to 80, middle age. 80 to 120, old age. So we are not to be thinking about old age before the age of 80. Correct. That's why we do yoga here, isn't it? Keep us youthful and full of vitality. Okay. Now we further subdivide the 120 years into what we call dashas in Sanskrit, in English, planetary periods. And each of the planets gets an X number of years to exert its influence over your life. And that is all clearly printed on the pages I give you when we do your birth chart. And we have major planetary periods, minor periods, sub periods. That's what I'll give you. But it goes sub, all the way down to a breath. Each breath is ruled by a particular planet. Now, that's cutting it kind of fine. I don't really get into the breath. But the major, minor, sub periods, if we have an accurate birth time, they work. How accurate are they? 90 to 95% of the cases, they are accurate. I have done hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands at this point, people's charts with no birth time. If you go to Australia, there's no birth time. You go to Ireland, where I live with my Irish wife, there's no birth times. So there's different places in the world where there's just no birth times. Nowadays, of course, they're beginning to write them down. In America, you got a birth time, you know, for the most part. So the birth time is important. So we have major periods, minor periods, just like we subdivide time. Within hours, we have minutes. Within minutes, we have seconds, and so on. So that's how time works. That's how we subdivide it. Same thing in Vedic astrology. And we can tell how, what can we tell from this? How the karma is unfolding throughout the lifetime. And what does it show us in the chart? The chart shows us, number one, who you are. Who are you? It shows your nature, and most importantly, it shows your dharma. What does that mean? Your life purpose. Exactly. So have you asked this question, you yoginis and yogis? Who am I? What did I come here to do? What is my life all about? What am I supposed to do? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? How can I capitalize on my strengths? How can I minimize my weaknesses or improve on them? What lessons am I here to learn? And how do I learn them? Am I willing to learn them? We're not always willing to learn the lessons. So, your birth chart shows all of that. Your dharma is life purpose. Dharma means many things. In Sanskrit, it's one of those wonderful words that says it all. There's no one word in English that explains dharma. You don't have that word, so it's best to use the word dharma. In English, dharma is duty, obligation, religion, belief. It is spirituality. It shows how evolved a soul may be when you think about a chart. It shows your fundamental nature. Your essence is your dharma. The dharma of sugar is sweetness. Can we separate the two, sugar and sweetness? Not possible. The dharma of water is? It's liquid. Can we separate those two? No. So your dharma is your very essence, that which cannot be separated from you. Now, some of you are doing your dharma. You are following your life purpose, correct? What's that?
Not yet.
Not yet. Fair enough. And some of you aren't. That's what. Some of you aren't. All of you would like to, I think, unless I miss my guess. If you're following your dharma, acting in harmony with your essence, your fundamental nature, it creates what inside of you?
Joy.
Joy. Happiness. A sense of well-being, a sense of knowing, a sense of feeling rightly situated. And then, what kind of influence do you put out into the world? Your dharma is also your work, right? And if you are rightly situated in your work, that means you hop out of bed in the morning. Gee, I can't wait to do what I'm going to do today. Right? Or do you go like this, slamming off the alarm clock, knocking off the table and roll over? When you are happily situated in your dharma, then you do your best work, don't you? Is that the kind of society we live in here? Not exactly. We live in the 5 o'clock Friday society. Is it 5 o'clock yet? It's time to get on? Is it Friday? Is the weekend here? What is the quality of work in a society that is a 5 o'clock Friday society? Where are the minds of those people? On the work? I don't think so. Because they're not connected with the Dharma. Because if you're connected with your Dharma, you're doing the work. You're focused on the work, and you're doing the best possible job available. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have, you must always do the best job. Even if it's a job you don't like. Why should you do the best job when it's a job you don't like? Because the way it works in the universe is, it will create expansion in your life, and it will pop you up. It will bring you forward into something better later. If you have a negative attitude and you're shuffling around it because you hate the damn job, that is not going to progress you forward. Just, that's a little side statement, but that's how it works. So if you're doing your dharma, you're happy, you're doing a good job, what will be the effect for the rest of us? The rest of us amigos, what will the effect be? What about us?
Benefit you too.
Correct. It is incumbent upon you to figure out who you are, do your dharma for us too. It's not just about you. It's about us. It's about all of us. Isn't it? If I'm not doing my best, how am I helping you? And if I'm not, then I must be taking up space and breathing the oxygen. And that's not good. So it's important to understand your dharma if you want fulfillment and happiness. Right? Astrology can show you your dharma or help you to arrive at it. You know, I don't want you to think, oh, this guy told me he's going to tell me this, this, and this. Yeah, sometimes it's very clear and it'll jump off the page. At other times, you know, some people in Ireland, they say, spoiled for choice. Do you know this expression? That means you got so many options, you could do anything. You're spoiled for choice. Some people are very talented, multi-gifted, multi-talent. So then I say, it's not what you can do, it's what can't you do. So then we have to maybe narrow you down a little bit and get you on the right path. According to planetary periods, what your karma is now, what you're going through, what your goals are. Oh, there's a funny one. No offense. You know, we've got the 1-year plan. You know, you have the 1-year plan. You got the 5-year plan. You got the 10-year plan. Correct? Here's the 120-year plan. Here's the soul schedule. The 120-year plan. Gee, that's different than my 5-year plan. Oh, yeah. I know it is. We better get in sync here. We better get this 5-year plan somewhere on the page so it works. So, this is your plan. You know, I didn't make this stuff up. You took birth at 2:42 p.m., not me. This is your plan. You and the powers that be. So I want you to know that. Wow. Becomes so much easier. When you have a person who comes to see you and they are going through the worst period of their life, and they are sad and they are despondent and they are having difficulties and they cannot focus and they are depressed, and all of their loved ones think they're deadbeats and they can't get their act together, and what the heck is wrong with you anyway? And then you come and you tell them, oh, you just hit 3 years of Saturn. 3 year Saturn period. Oh. The guy's already numb before you. Oh. What does that mean? Well, it means the following. And this is how it's to be used. Don't worry. It will serve a purpose, but we have to know what the purpose is. So once that is explained and, you know, we begin to understand that, well, I am now his best friend because I'm the only guy that seems to understand what he's going through. Oftentimes it's true. You know, at least I have some sympathy and compassion for what the poor man is dealing with. And then we ride it out. To know that you have a difficult period of a month, of 6 months, of 3 years, even though you're in the period, it's so helpful to know when it'll end. Believe me, it is so helpful. And then sure enough, it ends. That day dawns, and then things change and they shift, and you can see how people's lives just up they go after some of these really, really difficult periods. Okay, so is astrology fatalistic? Now, having studied astrology in Sanskrit, and having, you know, I mean, I'm about as absorbed in Indian culture as can be. It's just that I'm not a dark man. I'm very absorbed in it and have been for years, about 40 years. And I love the culture. In India, sometimes they take a very fatalistic approach to Vedic astrology, as though things are just going to fall on your head and that's it. There's not much you can do. But, you know, I wasn't raised in India. I'm a Western man. And I think differently. You know, I think in many ways like you think, because I'm a product of the same culture. So it's not actually fatalistic, because there is free will. And free will is very important because it allows you to exert your will and make decisions, pro, con, whatever you're going to do, and you can affect the outcome. Can you not? You know, if you're on the street corner and a truck is coming this way, do you step out onto the road? You'll be finished if you do. So we just wait till the truck goes by and then we step. Is this not free will? Simple example. So, same thing. In Vedic astrology, they're not just karmic periods. They're karmic opportunities. Because in every period, two things. In every planetary period, two things, essentially. It will allow you to fulfill certain desires and goals and objectives. You know, you're humans. You're full of desires. Most of us. Secondly, it will show us what lessons you have chosen to learn in this particular period. Is that important? Well, what about those of us who have gone into relationship with, I don't know how to say this nicely, with an immature man. Let us say this, ladies, with an immature man. And it doesn't really work out because he's kind of a boy in a man's body. And you wish he would grow and change and mature, but he doesn't. So that relationship ends. Some time passes. And you go into another relationship with a different immature man. Did we learn the lesson? No. And then that one doesn't work out. And then what do? Time passes and you go into a relationship with another immature man, for example. How long will that go on for? How many lifetimes do you need? It'll go on until you learn the lesson. And when you learn the lesson, it won't happen any longer. That's the point of learning the lesson. You're doomed to fail until you learn the lesson. Right? And it'll just keep coming at you. So, to know what lessons are meant to be learned in a given period, again, is so freeing. It's so liberating. Does it mean they're all easy to learn? Of course they're not. We know that. Some harder than others. But at least you know what's on the agenda. Right? And it can help you to learn that and help you to direct your will. So free will, yes, very important. Fatalistic to a certain point. Some karmas are very strong. They're going to happen. Like, for example, supposing I see somebody going into a Mars period or maybe a K2 period. Both Mars and K2 are fire planets, fire elements. In Ayurveda, we would call that what? Pitta. Exactly. And that raises the pitta and raises the possibility of anger, frustration, resentment, criticism, blame, guilt. Aimed at the self, maybe. Aimed at somebody else, maybe. Aimed at you by somebody else, perhaps. Any combination of the three, why not? So then we look at your chart and say, now don't get me wrong here. It doesn't mean if you're in a Mars period or a K2 period, what I'm about to say is true. It may indicate in the chart an accident or an injury or a surgery. Okay? So let's say an accident or an injury. Well, then we know that if we allow the anger and the resentment to build like a volcano, what's going to happen? It'll blow. So we already know that. So we don't allow it. We push the pressure valve. We release some pressure. Now, an accident or an injury can mean you wrapped your car around a pole or you bumped your knee on the coffee table and it's bruised. Which one would you prefer? I'll take the bruise on the knee. I remember one time I drove into my garage. I got out of my car. I guess I wasn't paying attention. I closed the door on my finger. I looked, I calmly opened the door, because the pain hadn't hit yet. I closed the door, I walked out of the garage, I looked up into the sky, and the pain rushed into my finger, and I said, thank you so, so much. Because I'm sure I deserved way worse than that. I had a car accident. I'll take it. No, I'll take it. So we don't have to get the full on experience, do we? We can reduce it. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is enlightenment. The more enlightened we become, the more successfully we can navigate this morass we call material life. Life in the material world. Right? How many of you have had a spiritual awakening? In your lifetime? Nobody? Good, good. Now, they're not a lot of people get them, but you can get them. And you certainly can become spiritual without a spiritual awakening. And in Vedic astrology, we can also see how evolved a soul might be. And what their degree of consciousness is, or what potentially is their degree of consciousness. Because the more conscious you become, the more enlightened you become, honestly, the easier things get. The less difficult life becomes. Sometimes life is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Emotionally, mentally, psychologically, sometimes disease, you know, people get diseases. We've got a whole group of diseases now that were never here. At the end of the Second World War, which was 1945, many of these diseases, they didn't even exist here. Like heart disease, like cancers, breast cancer. These things were not even on the, on the map. So that's another way Vedic astrology can help you to kind of see what's going and where things might break down and why. So we can avoid disease. In Ayurvedic medicine, as some of you probably know, they take the pulses, the pitta pulse, the kapha pulse, the vata pulse. And they can actually tell you a year to 2 years in advance the type of disease you're likely to get if you have an imbalance. It actually works. Very effectively. So with astrology, we can do the same thing, only we can do it decades in advance. So to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We can also look into past lives for you if you find that interesting. I can tell you different things to connect them. Sometimes, for example, you have a person who says, I want to be very, very wealthy and successful. Now, one of the things we should point out here is that money is never the purpose of life. Most of us know that. You never make money the purpose. You make your dharma, your job, your work the purpose, and let the money come. Money's great. You don't live for money. Because if you make money your purpose and you become a multimillionaire, you won't be happy. Why? You got all the money. Because you're missing the point of dharma. Right? Without the dharma, we don't have the joy, we don't have the connection. So, for example, you know people like this. They wanted to make a whole bunch of money. They set out, they worked hard, they became very, very wealthy, they made all this money. That was their desire, and then they lost it all. Was that part of the plan? No. It wasn't. Why? How did they lose all the money? Because their conscious desire and their subconscious belief were at odds. The desire says, I want to make a lot of money. The subconscious belief says what? I don't deserve to have money. I'm not worthy. So, in some cases, you won't make anything with that belief system running. In this case, he made the money and then he lost it all. Because the belief took over. Oh, you don't deserve money. There are people that do this several times in their life. Make a fortune, lose a fortune, make a fortune, lose a fortune. Right? This too, you can see in the chart. Okay, I mean, I can go on and on and on. Questions? Comments? Anything? Anybody? Yes.
One hour, how far in your chart can you go?
Well, we can go as far as we need to go. We can cover a lot in an hour. The main thing I try to do in the first chart is tell you who you are, as far as I can see it, what your life purpose is, depending on what you're doing right now, your strengths, your weaknesses, the pitfalls to avoid, the major lessons. You see, we're not going to talk about lessons and what you're here to learn. Then you're like ignoring one of the most important things. That's really important too. I don't use astrology to be a fortune teller. I have no interest in fortune telling. If you want to know something about your life, like how many kids am I going to have? Yeah, we can look at that, but that's not my purpose. My purpose is not to be a fortune teller. It's to help to unlock your potential so you can realize that potential to the highest possible level in this lifetime for your own fulfillment and for the benefit of the rest of us. That is my purpose.
Will you be able to touch on knowing what your timing is?
Oh, well, we're definitely going to do that. That's all part of it. I will show you your planetary periods, you know, at least up to 80 anyway. You know, I mean, it's after 80 I could keep talking, but, you know, unless you're living a real long time. I mean, we want to focus on the major planetary period now. We want to focus on a couple of minor periods that you're in now and that are coming up in the next, say, 5 years. That's how we're going to focus. We're not going to get into painstaking detail for age 72 because we're not there. You know, you do updates once yearly or whenever you feel like it. So we want to focus on what's going on in your life now, how it relates to the bigger picture, who you are and how you can realize the potential. You know, I want to give you a vision of yourself that either you don't have or you really do have. It's in there. You have it. And then I say it and you go, oh my God, you actually see me. You know how many times I've heard that? You actually get me. Sometimes I hear, you're the first person who's ever gotten me. It's a lovely, lovely compliment to hear that. It makes my day. It makes my life worthwhile. And I'm truly, truly grateful for that. Because if you can do just one little thing like that to help somebody to shift their life, and everyone has told them no, who do you think you are anyway? No one believes. No one cares. Why don't you just sit in your place and behave and stop making waves? No, no. You stand up. Come here. This is where you're going now, where you belong. And this is the feeling they've always had, but no one ever confirmed. What's that worth? It's priceless. It's priceless. That's what I can do. and have done it thousands of times. Now, I can't look you in the eye and say, oh yes, I will do that for you on Thursday. I don't know what will happen on Thursday. We'll see. You know? Yes, don't even worry about that. Most of the work I do is over the phone or by Skype. So if you don't get an appointment with me in person, or you can't do it right now or whatever, don't even worry about it. We can do it another time. You know, I talk to different people on a daily basis. Spain, Mexico, Thailand, Singapore, Hong Kong, Switzerland, France, Sweden, Germany, England, America, Canada, etc.
I mean, I'm like, oh yeah, Joe.
Well, you know, I always hope that I'll remember one or two things for when they come back to me. But I have all the records. I keep all the records. And then I make some notes, not copious notes, but I make some notes. I'm pretty organized. I have every chart I've ever done from 34 years ago. So I have upwards of, I don't know, at this stage, probably 100,000 charts. From people of every stripe, every spot, every stripe, every walk of life. And I have people, my clients are at the top echelon of every life calling.
I was going to say, did you do Nancy Reagan?
I didn't do Nancy Reagan. I would have been happy to do Nancy Reagan. I never got the call. I don't need you to bring it to me. I just need your birth information. So you don't want to go on someone else's calculations. It's not a good policy. You're better doing your own calculations. So if there's a mistake, it'll be my mistake and not the other guy's mistake. You know. I mean, normally I don't make that mistake, but I'm human. I can make a mistake. But I don't take other people's work and talk about it. Any other questions?
So every person, all the people, let's say, born same day, same month, same year, will have the same dharma?
Yes, same day, same month, same year. No, they won't necessarily have the same dharma.
Same life purpose?
No. You see, no, you subdivide the day into 12. Okay? It's a very good question. Because there's only so many charts you could have. You can only have 12 different charts in a day. You can't have more. So what if there's 13 people born in a given day on planet Earth? Well, I'm sure there is. There's even more. So how do you explain it? So each sign, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, etc., comes up on the ascendant. The ascendant is the rising sign, the eastern horizon, right? Eastern horizon begins the day. Sunrise. That's how important it is. So that's why the eastern horizon is chosen. Because that begins the life. So a sign comes up on the ascendant, let's say Aries, first sign. It's just a wheel and it clicks around. So Aries stays there for roughly 2 hours. Now it clicks over. Now Taurus comes up for 2 hours. Then it clicks over. Well, it doesn't click over. It moves slowly. Doesn't click. It moves like that. Click, 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 click. Like a clock. And then Gemini comes, and then Cancer comes. Like that. So in a given day, you're going to get 12 different charts. Assuming none of the planets change signs. But planets do change signs from time to time, so then that can happen too in a given day. The moon might be in Cancer, and then after 11:05 a.m., it moves into Leo. But the point is, yes, those people would have similarities, But you also have to look at charts in terms of the person's background and how they were raised, their economic reality, everything. You have to look at that. You know, you can't look at a, you know, if you looked at a rickshaw wallah's chart, some guy who drives a rickshaw in India, barefoot, well, he's going to have a chart too. And, you know, he's a simple guy in a simple situation. Maybe he'll get beyond being a rickshaw wallah, but in most cases they won't be. That's what they're going to be through the lifetime. So you have to take everything in context. And there's some ability that you have to develop to do that as well. So it just depends. You can't just say, I mean, this guy is not going to become the rickshaw wallah is not going to become a psychotherapist. You know, so we have to see it. Well, maybe he could have if his economic situation was different. It's possible. It's possible. Yeah.
Do you need to know the location, like city,
state? City, yeah. Name, I need your name. Birth date. Birth time as accurately as possible. And birthplace, which means city. If you were born in a little village in the middle of some little province or state, then that might be too small. Depends. In America, it's fine. But if you're born elsewhere. So then we need maybe the closest big city. I have a lot of clients in Mexico City that I do over Skype. And this one lady, she told me she was born in Monterrey. So I look up, you know, Monterrey, Mexico. I don't know which Monterrey because I don't know the state. She doesn't tell me. So how many Monterreys are there?
Like 10.
Monterrey, Mexico. You know, in California too, you got a few things that are like Glendale. There's a few Glendales. There's two Mountain Views. There's a Mountain View here, and there's a Mountain View down south. So, for example.
Is the name that's on you that you're given on your birth certificate?
Your name? No, it doesn't matter. Whatever name you go by, it's okay. Fine. Yeah, it doesn't. And we're not doing numerology, then it would be important.
Yeah.
But just for our purposes, it's fine. Just with the name you use. Okay? Thank you so much for coming.